Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got fun things on the way. We're going to kick things off the way we like to around here with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Brittany, I am still hot. I'm in the studio. I have the fan on. Somehow I am still hot. The air was hot yesterday. It was a warm one. Is it going to be that way today?
Oh, it's going to be close to it. It's not going to be as hot and as sweltering. It felt like a sauna, to be honest with you. When I stepped outside a few times yesterday, that's what it reminded me of. I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for the sauna experience today. I don't want
this. This is not a spa, Mother Nature.
I mean, I was looking at feel-like temperatures from yesterday. Stevens Point hit 106 degree heat index. Oof. Yesterday.
So, I believe it.
Huh?
Did we?
And how were your storms? Did you get any good storms overnight?
Yeah, actually got our storms on. Our storms knocked out some power around here, including ever at my folks' house, where I was in the middle of doing laundry. I've got some wet clothes in the dryer that I just barely should be running right now, actually. But I should go check on them in a break. I'll go do that. But we did get power knocked out for about an hour or so on the west side of Rapids here. I'm not sure about the other areas. We'll check in with our listeners about that. Luckily, it wasn't too bad.
Good, good. Yeah, I was looking at gusts. It looks like a 48-mile-per-hour wind gust through Wisconsin Rapids. Up here towards me a little bit more, and to go 51 miles per hour. But tons of trees are down across the northern part of the state. Like you said, a lot of power outages as well. So if you think about it, these workers have to be out there in the sweltering heat today as we climb back to the upper 80s to low 90s. With the humidity still high, it's going to be feeling like the low to mid 90s today. So not triple digits, but still pretty darn close. We'll see pockets of sunshine. We still have pockets of showers and storms. We've got this cold front that's pretty much draped right between you and I, between Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. And when this thing starts to slowly drop south, we're going to see those storms take more of a southern trend. Because right now, they're up in northwest Wisconsin. But throughout the afternoon and evening, they will work our way towards us. And then this will all kick on out of here, and we'll be on the refreshing, cooler side of things for tomorrow. So tomorrow, we're actually looking at highs of just the mid-70s.
That's going to feel cool.
Yeah, that's going to feel really good. And a great note by you, Brittany, about some of our construction workers and our people out there working on the roads and everything. Slow down when you're driving in those orange cone areas. Everybody look out for them. And a big thank you to all of them for what they're doing out there.
For sure.
Yeah, huge shout out, especially to those people like putting our power on today. We need you. Mm-hmm. We really need you to do it fast. Mm-hmm. And they're working their butts off in this heat. So
drink lots of water.
Yeah. And you stay cool over there, Brittany.
Thanks. You as well.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brittany.
Best in the business. Have a great day, Brittany. She's awesome. We love talking with Brittany. We love talking with all of you and entertaining you, bringing you a serious comedy to start your day. We're going to do that today in the next 2 hours. A little bit later, we're going to get into a Six Flags ride that broke down. I think a lot of people might have seen some news about that one. IKEA is launching a site to sell your pre-owned furniture.
IKEA?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get into that one, Melissa. 9 o'clock hour, got some entertainment news in there for you. We're going to talk about some local theater as well in that. And a little bit later in the 9 o'clock, the 10 most acceptable reasons for a phone call in 2024.
We need an excuse. Okay, got it.
I have not pre-read that. I do not know what's coming up in that one. I did want to start somewhere, though. And interestingly, Melissa, in her news break today, touched on this. And I appreciate it, Melissa. You always do an amazing job with that amount of time that you have there, packing in great local information for us and reminding us of things sometimes. And I actually had a couple of places or a couple of things I wanted to touch on when it comes to kids starting school and bus driving.
Good.
And here is just an important reminder to everybody out there. I know it's been a long summer, and maybe some people might have forgotten. Our school buses have these things that are like they are stop signs that pop out on the side. That means you're supposed to stop. Officials in Tampa, Florida had to remind drivers to stop if they see a school bus with its sign extended. That means no matter which way you're coming from, don't pass if you're behind the bus and don't blow past it if you're coming from the other direction either. It's a safety thing to let you know, let kids in case they're crossing and stuff. A lot of buses have cameras on board now that scan license plates to catch people doing this. Yes. So if you're making sure you don't you don't want to do anything, obviously, for any reason, first of all, the children. But if I can't catch you on that, then maybe I can catch your wallet or your purse or whatever and keep you from doing it for that those reasons. The officials in Tampa announced that in the span of just 4 days this month, 2,391 drivers ignored those stop signs and passed school buses anyway. 2,391 drivers. I make sure that number hits home. They're doing a grace period until September 12th, so those people will only get warnings for now, but after that, it is an automatic $225 fine. That fine is very similar here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Failure to stop can result in a fine between $30 and $300.
According to a handful of sites that I've seen here, including CrashStats.net and the National Institute of Health, 1 in 4 children are hit by a vehicle this time of year.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. The numbers are if it was a half a point, it would be too high. This is something that is a self-inflicted wound on our society. This is something that we do to ourselves because we can't slow down. We can't look around. We can't be bothered to take our head out of our phone. You notice I'm saying we, everybody. I am not putting myself above anybody here. I'm talking with you. I'm one of you. I'm with you in this community. And I, just like anybody else out there, sometimes have to take a moment and get out of my own head and pay attention to what I am doing, driving these big, gigantic monsters down the road. Mm-hmm. We all need to be better about this, and we all can be better about this. And this is a subject that we can do something about ourselves. We don't need the government. We don't need other people telling us what to do. Just use your darn common sense and slow down. And you know what? Start practicing now. Start practicing. Yeah. Start getting used to this. Start getting in the habit of it. Because our Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools in our area here, Monday, September 3rd, is our start of the school year. Rapids has a late start Monday schedule that they're going to be doing, where classes will start 30 to 45 minutes later on Mondays. Most kids, typically their day, 8:30 is when things start. 3:30 is when oftentimes most of them are being let out. If you're on the roads at these times, treat this like they are your children, if that's what it takes, whatever it takes. Not one child, not one, nothing, none of this should, not one child should be affected by this.
Yeah. Yep. And we can do our part as drivers to pay attention, put the phone down, watch for those school buses, watch for kids. You know, I mean, I don't want to say kids are unpredictable like deer, but they kind of are.
They are. Yes, they are.
So watch out. Be watchful for them.
I will make the argument that children are more unpredictable than deer. Deer oftentimes will look into the road and be like, oh, I ain't going past there. A kid is a kid. They've got energy. They've got excitement. They are just getting...
They're easily distractible.
Absolutely. We, as adults, are easily distractible. Yeah. That's part of why we're having this discussion. So I'm not, again, not putting us above or trying to call anybody out or point fingers or anything like that. That doesn't do us any good. Let's do this together as a group, as a society.
We all have to do our part.
Yeah, and be better. Like this older gentleman here, the world's oldest living man is celebrating his 112th birthday today, actually, at the care home center where he lives in England.
Aww.
I bet you he slowed down. John Alfred Tinswood was born August 26th, 1912. So yesterday would have been his birthday. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Just over 4 months after the sinking of the Titanic and 6 months after Arizona became a U.S. state.
Wow.
Tinswood was dubbed the world's oldest living man by Guinness World Records earlier this year and is now celebrating his 112th. So he's padding his record here. That's what he's doing now. Now he's going to be adding to it. And they asked him about this, and he says, "It didn't affect me in any way, really, to be honest with you," Tinswood told the Guinness World Records about attaining the title. "Personally, it doesn't mean a thing." He was very nonchalant about turning 112.
Well, I mean, when you've been around that long, I suppose it's just another day.
In all honesty, similarly nonchalant about turning 112. He says, "In all honesty, no different. I don't feel that age. I don't get excited over it. That's probably why I've reached it. I just take it in stride like anything else."
Mm-hmm.
There's some magic in that, what he's saying there about taking things in stride and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tinswood said he doesn't really know the secret to longevity. "I can't think of any special secrets I have. I was quite active as a youngster. I did a lot of walking, but to me, I'm no different, no different at all." I really do actually like this. I will say, every time they ask a 100-year-old person or something like that, they always like to ask them, what is their secret to life and those questions.
Right.
And we always get fun answers. I've never heard a bad answer to that. There's always a good one. This is one of the more unique and honest ones I've ever heard.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of, actually, things going around right now of, is it good to take advice from older people?
Mm.
Well, what's wrong with his answer? There's nothing wrong with his answer, but a lot of times it has to do more with genetics and genes, not necessarily what they did or didn't do in their lives.
And, you know, what's the harm in listening to advice? Doesn't mean you have to take
sure.
it.
That's
you
right.
know, you can listen.
Walk? Sure. There's yeah. nothing wrong with that.
See, all right, writing this one down. Walk
Go
more,
for
James.
Walks.
Walk more and you may live to 100. We will take a quick time out, check in with our partners. We'll come back. We'll do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Beat the heat with them. And keep in mind that not only are they open today, but this week they are offering free pie or a beverage with a purchase of $10 minimum.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
That's going to keep you cool. That is going to help. That is going to help
a
lot.
And plus, their pie is delicious.
Such good pie. It's even okayed by Seth, the head of the pie council and everything.
Absolutely.
Seth loves it. So go ahead and head on over to 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Wish him a good morning from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
And keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. You guys have been really good about this. We've been having good lists lately. Get them to us, info@WFHR.com. You can email any of our staff, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us or melissa.k@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, WFHR, WIRI. Type in your search bar, like our pages, keep up to date with what we're doing. And, of course, call up.
Yeah, you can call using the Civic Media app with just a couple buttons there on your dial pad, or you can call 715-424-2600 and even wish your birthday or anniversary live on air.
We love getting those on the air, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to call up and join us anytime during the show. And well, let's go ahead and dive right in, Melissa. We need a 1 through 3.
Let's go with 1 today.
Okay, gives us that qualifier. We can get right into celebrating. And first up, wishing a happy birthday to Liana Tabiatha.
Happy birthday, Liana.
Liana, hope you have a great day. Enjoy your day. And we wish a happy birthday to Stella Farella.
Happy birthday, Stella.
What a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Both great names. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a sucker for the name Stella. great name. Great name. Enjoy your day, Stella. Hope it's a good one. And our qualifier today, Tom Sanderson.
Happy birthday, Tom. Congratulations.
Enjoy your day, sir. You're our qualifier. Thank you so much to you or whoever got us this birthday. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty soon we're going to draw our winner for August. We're winding down.
We are days away from that. Just days away from that. Looking forward to it. And actually, I did think of something just now. I had somebody, this was a couple weeks back, but I had somebody ask me, hey, is it okay if I call in my own birthday?
Absolutely.
1,000% it's okay.
Yeah.
100%. Please feel free to do
that. I call in my own birthday.
Yes, please. Feel free to. That counts.
Not that I can qualify, but
it was anyway. it was actually a very innocent question from not somebody I would have expected it from. A very big, burly man asking me about this, and I didn't expect that. But it was a fine question and a good
Absolutely.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is very okay with us. Just as long as you... We don't mind how you do it. Just get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Love celebrating with you. Taking a look at our celebrity list, Aaron Paul is 45. Famous for being Jesse on Breaking Bad. He's Todd on BoJack Horseman. He was on Westworld for a little bit, too, and did a really nice job over the couple seasons he was on that. I like him. He's a good actor, Aaron Paul. Sarah Clark is 48. She was Dr. Elliot Reed on Scrubs. She was Becky on Roseanne. The second Becky on Roseanne, actually. She's been in a couple of other things, too. She's another good actor, a good TV actor.
Right, I don't recognize. She was in Twilight.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Yeah. And Bosch. She was in Bosch.
Okay. Jimmy Pop from Bloodhound Gang is 52. Wow, that brings me back. Bloodhound Gang. Wow, that's a throwback right there. Let's see. Tony Kanal from No Doubt is 54. He is the bassist for the band. Let's see here. Chandra Wilson is 55. Dr. Miranda Bailey on Grey's Anatomy.
I like her.
Good actor. Good actor. I've seen her in a couple of other things. I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, but I've seen her in a couple of other things. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how. I don't know.
I mean, it's been on for like 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite, but almost.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Since 2005, it'll be 20 years next year.
That's great. I thought you were right about that. Yeah, nice, good call.
She is really great in that, and a few other things too. She was in Philadelphia in '93.
Oh, that's where I knew her from. Yep, yeah, yeah. Good flick, good movie. Cesar Millan is 55. The Dog Whisperer.
Wow.
He does some little snapping thing or something with his mouth. He makes some noise or something like that. But I haven't seen that show or seen him in probably 15 years or whatever. But I always enjoyed him. I thought he was pretty good.
And he's got a great personality.
Yes. Yeah. I like there's a guy that I never questioned. He always put the animals first. I always felt like him. Let's see here. Wow. Alex Lifeson. From Rush is 71, one of the integral parts of the great band Rush. Spirit of Radio, Fly By Night, Closer to the Heart, Red Barchetta, Limelight, all songs that I played endlessly on my old radio job. Tom Sawyer, though. Tom Sawyer. I'm not a gigantic Rush fan. I like Rush. I respect Geddy Lee quite a bit as probably the world's greatest bass player. But Tom Sawyer is the one that I always come back to. That's probably the one that I like. That's a good song.
Is Neil Peart the drummer?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And arguably the best drummer. One of the best, if not the one of the best, one of the best drummers in the world for sure. Really talented band. Sergeant Slaughter is 76, old school WWF star, G.I. Joe action figure. I might be letting people behind the curtain a little too much here on this one. Not an actual sergeant. And in fact, got in trouble for pretending to be a sergeant.
Impersonating, that's not a good thing to do.
I don't know if you've heard of this or not before, Melissa, but there's this thing in wrestling called KFAP, where it was for decades and decades. It's really only been in recent years that if you and I were wrestlers and we were enemies and stuff, but in real life we were friends, we never let anybody know that. You never let the audience look behind the curtain. You always stay in character. You keep up the facade. Sergeant Slaughter kind of like felt like he was doing that while, you know, telling people he was a sergeant, and people would thank him for his service, and he would say thank you. Ooh. And you there's a line in the sand when it comes to KFAB, and he crossed it. He crossed it. You can't do that. You can't do that, man. Let's see here. Tuesday Weld is 81. Let's see here. Pee Wee Herman. That's it. That's who I wanted to mention. As people no longer with us, like Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman would have been 72 today. Born in 1952, passed away just last year in 23. Yeah. Jeff Cook from Alabama, born in 1949, passed away in 2022. And Daryl Dragon, born in 1942, passed away in 2019. The captain of Captain and Tennille. why didn't they call it Dragon in Tennille? Like, his last name's Dragon. I mean, you got a cool last name like that. I mean, I'd be using that every chance I get.
Dragon and Tennille, that would have been cool.
I feel like it works. I feel like I could make that work, I feel like. Some wonderful artists here and wonderful names, not only on our celebrity list, but of course on our local celebrity list. Keep Absolutely. Getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. A reminder that you can call in anytime in the next hour and a half here. Yeah. We love to hear from you guys. You call up at 845 or 945 and get us a birthday. We'll get it then. We'll put it on the list.
Absolutely. That number is 715-424-2600.
Remember, our great friends over at El Cafe, who sponsored this segment, are offering a cool offer right now, and I do mean cool, free pie or a beverage with your purchase of $10 minimum. And let's be honest, you go there, you're probably going to spend that anyway. So you're going to get a free piece of pie or beverage with that. That
is pretty
cool. If
you're getting any kind of entree or breakfast, you'll be close to that.
Yeah. Keep that in mind and enjoy yourself. El Cafe is open Tuesday through Sunday. Go ahead and head on over there, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Keep in mind that you can reach out to them if you'd like by their email, lcafediner@gmail.com. Or give them a call, 887-2233. Check out their website as well, lcafewi.com, lcafewi.com. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the segment. Appreciate our friends at El Cafe. We will get to our news and sports break right now. We'll come back and do some celebrating and some fun with a couple of things we got going on here. The Six Flags ride that broke down, we're going to talk about that. And IKEA selling pre-owned furniture. I really want to get into that one with you, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm curious.
That's all coming up for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one over there. Thanks so much for joining us. Good things coming up for you throughout the hour. Going to get into a couple of fun ones, including a tech startup is using mirrored satellites to sell sunlight after dark.
I saw this headline. I did not look at it.
All right, we're going to check that one out together a little bit. But IKEA is launching a new website where customers will be able to sell their used IKEA furniture. It's called IKEA Pre-Owned. Great name. Really worked hard on that one. They're testing it in Spain and Norway through the end of the year, with plans to roll it out to other countries after that. They already have a small program where they sometimes buy back used stuff and resell it, but this is a peer-to-peer marketplace where you'll be able to sell your used IKEA stuff to other IKEA users. It's got a few bells and whistles to make things easier, like an AI-powered database that adds images and measurements for you, and you'll have the option of being paid in cash or an IKEA credit with a 15% bonus. Either way, it might get even easier to lose that old knobstop chair or online or something like that, or just, you know, maybe even if you just want to change up your furniture.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like this, James.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool idea. It's now, I was on the fence on it until I read the article and I read the part about it peer-to-peer. IKEA's only real involvement in this is offering you an IKEA credit or the 50% bonus and some of that. You can sell some things back to IKEA, not just to peers as well.
Well, and the additional help of, well, we already have all the measurements for all of our stuff in our system. We're going to help you be able to populate that quickly with AI without you having to do it yourself. I can't tell you how many times I have been looking for something on Facebook Marketplace and people will post a picture, but they don't post any measurements.
Yeah.
Specifically, I was looking for a desk and I needed it to be a particular size. And asking over and over, what are the measurements? Like, how do you post something without measurements when it's furniture?
Yeah.
It just boggled my mind, and it got me very frustrated. So the fact that they're using AI to just, like, populate that automatically because it's already in their system is super cool to me.
I agree. I think that's a really cool feature about this, and it really works for them. I also think that the idea of repurposing stuff is always great, even if it's not necessarily turning it into something different, just reusing it and where it would end up on the side of the road or something like that.
Right. And there is a certain amount of people who are able to, oh, you know, what I want to just get all new living room furniture.
Yeah.
But instead of throwing theirs away, if it's all still perfectly good furniture, maybe slightly used, but somebody else can make use of that. And using a platform like that that makes it easy for sellers, I think it's only good for the environment and good for people.
My only catch with IKEA has ever been their prices. And something like this, I don't know, it doesn't necessarily lower prices, but it feels like you get more use out of your items this way
It keeps things out of landfills.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's something we really need to be more conscious of.
I one other thing people should be conscious of, and I understand that there's not a ton of IKEAs necessarily around central Wisconsin or anything, but if you are in a good relationship and you want to test it, go to IKEA. Go to IKEA. It's not me saying this necessarily. It is a lot of like relationship experts and people like that that talk about this. I didn't know this. My an ex of mine, her and her mom really liked IKEA, and they found out I'd never been there before. And you know, we joked about it a little bit or whatever. Well, then like a month goes by, and just out of nowhere on a random Saturday, they're like, "We're going to IKEA," and I'm like, "Oh, okay," you know, and I'm tagging along and everything, and I'm there. And it really felt like she was kind of, and this was not her style, but it felt like she was trying to pick a fight with me. And I was, you know, I'm a pretty mellow guy with those things. Takes a little bit to get under my skin. That might surprise some people out there. but I was getting irritated. I was kind of like, all right. And she's telling me to go find things. And I've never been, and she knows I've never been in an IKEA before. And I'm looking at the, you know, you are here sign and all this. And I'm getting frustrated and more frustrated. And finally, where I realize, wait a minute, we're fighting. Like, we never fight, and we're fighting in the middle of this IKEA and everything. And she ended up like kind of like just going off, and I'm lost. I don't know where I am in this IKEA. I have no idea where I am, and I'm bopping around, and I'm trying to find her and her mom and all this, and I finally do over by the meatballs and stuff. And I told her, I was like, look, I don't know what happened there, but I'm sorry, I don't know. And she's like, it's the store. It's the store. Like there are relationship experts that will tell people like, hey, take your significant other to IKEA. And if you get in a fight and you survive it, you'll be okay. And so that's what she was trying to do. She was trying to manufacture a fight and see how we would be and make up afterwards so that we'd be okay in all this. It was just the weirdest situation. But that is something that others do. That is something that people do from time to time. So that is another reason maybe to find an IKEA. I don't know.
The average suburban IKEA is 25,000 square feet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to hear anybody making fun of me about getting lost. They use different words over there in the IKEA. They use a lot of Swedish words that I don't understand. A lot of stuff in those buildings. And good stores, by the way. Nothing against IKEA. Again, just the prices. But this pre-owned thing makes me think a little bit differently about it, actually. That is pretty cool.
It is cool.
Many might have seen this already, but for those who haven't, a footage from Six Flags Mexico is going viral after a bunch of people got stuck on a ride almost 250 feet up in the middle of a huge storm.
Oh, no.
The ride is called Supergirl Sky Flight or Sky Screamer at some of the parks. You're in a swing that spins you in circles. It's a swing that spins you in circles. Okay. A lot of fairs have them too, but they don't go as very high as this one does. The Six Flag version hits a max height of 242 feet.
Yikes.
They were
up there.
Yeah. They were at the top when the ride froze up, of course. And so they were just dangling there for 10 minutes. And there happened to be a torrential downpour at the same time. The video shows the wind whipping while everyone white knuckles it. You can hear several people screaming and crying. The storm got worse as they were being evacuated, but no one was hurt. Six Flags put out a statement saying it caused some uncomfortable moments for a few visitors, but the ride was back up and running a short time later.
In the middle of a storm?
I'm going to need a little bit more than that from Six Flags. I'm going to need them to do a little bit more than, you know, hey, our bad, sorry, but the ride's okay. Don't pay no attention to the people. Pay no attention to the people. But our ride is okay.
You might have a little mental trauma, but you know what? It's all good.
Quick side note. Do we have any psychiatrists in Six Flags in the park here? Do we have it? I'm just as a random question. Not asking for any particular reason. That ain't right, man. That ain't right.
I just watched a video of it, and it must have been a very short storm because you could see blue sky in the video. And the people are, it's raining, and they're not even swinging back and forth, though. They are just pretty much sitting still.
I watched the video, oddly enough, last night during the storm. I got the same feeling from it, Melissa. I don't know.
They are going back and forth a tiny bit, but probably nothing like what the ride was doing.
Like, this is obviously not what they signed up for, and I understand that. At the same time, if there were 10 people up there, I have a feeling at least one or two were either thinking this was part of the ride or really enjoying it. Because, I mean, come on, you are on
watch a storm from 200 plus feet. That would probably be pretty cool.
Well, and usually timid people don't get on a ride like this.
They're kind of thrill seekers anyway.
Yeah, you might have gotten more bang for your buck this way. I mean, it actually may be a disappointment the next time you take the ride. You're like, oh, well, we didn't get stopped in a rainstorm or anything. I don't know.
They have an amazing story to tell for the rest of their lives.
It's very true, very true. Thankfully, everybody was okay, so that's the best part of this.
But it would be terrifying.
I admit wholeheartedly, I'm not a... I was an adrenaline junkie as a kid. I got it all out of my system. I really, really did. And I've never really been much of a... a ride guy. I don't mind rides. I'll do it if other people are doing it and they want me to or something. But again, I got my fill of this as a kid with the Gravitron and things like that.
Yeah, I don't like getting dizzy anymore.
I can't imagine a scenario where I'm willing to pay people to let me on a ride called Skyscreamer. There's no scenario outside of like being paid to do it. I'm not giving them money. They can give me money to do it, but I don't see like you're willingly paying for this. I don't get it. I don't.
Now, if it doesn't go in circles, I would probably be game. Like roller coasters, yeah, I'd probably still do one. Any kind of like swing where you go. Have you seen those ones where they go out over the edge of a cliff?
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
That does seem kind of cool. That does seem kind of cool. I'm with you on that.
Fair rides now, like we were just at the Marshfield Fair, and I had some kiddos with me, and they went on some rides, and I couldn't even watch because I was getting dizzy. Because they spin. The rides spin, and no thank you. No, no, no.
Yeah, I've never been, like, I am okay, like, a roller coaster seems all right to me, but any ride, like, those rides that are just what you're talking about, just spinning in the air.
Going round and round.
Yeah,
and round.
No, like, that's not really a ride to me. That just feels kind of like, all right, we got no, we couldn't come up with anything else, so let's just go ahead and put them in dishes and spin them around for a while.
Now, my favorite ride when I was a kid was the one where and I don't remember what it's called, but you're in a little car and you can spin the table that's inside the car to make your individual car spin faster as the ride goes around. I loved that one. That one was my favorite. But I also used to like to get dizzy. Like I'd sit on a swing and have my brother spin the swing around and around and around until like the rope got tightened up and then let you go. And then you'd spin like crazy.
My sister loved that too. And I swear I got more dizzy than she did. Doing it. I'm pretty sure I did.
And then you get off and you try to walk in a straight line. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. The things
when
that
you're
you,
seven.
Yes. When you're seven. Yes. Teach their own. But man, I have no interest in that stuff nowadays.
No.
I got my fill.
I do not
got
like being
film.
Dizzy. Mm-mm.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about a sunshine application. We've got some of that coming up for you in a little bit here on The Morning Show at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bumps. 42nd Street got Big Jim. A walker here, bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because.
We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there, everybody. little Jim Crocheted playing us in. You don't mess around with Jim. God, my father loves this song. Loves this song. And you could see the twinkle in his eye every time he says Jim. You could see it just every single time. When I was a kid, he would tell me, you know, Jimmy, they don't say James. It says Jim. It says Jim. Yeah, that's great, Dad. That's great. Jim Croce, a great, amazing singer, songwriter. This is one of those stories that reminds you, yeah, we are living in the future right now. A tech startup in California called Reflect Orbital is planning to use mirrored satellites to sell people sunlight when it's dark out.
Okay, sell.
I hope that settled into people right there, that phrase, that sentence didn't wrinkle your brain, you were able to comprehend, because it took me a couple times of reading it to really get that down. One of the co-founders is a former SpaceX employee. They're trying to put a constellation of satellites into orbit that can reflect sunlight and direct it anywhere on Earth. Russia actually did a proof of concept decades ago, and it worked. It's mainly designed to help big solar farms keep generating power at night, but anyone can go to their website and fill out a sunshine application. The deadline to apply is October 23rd. You'll need a pretty big plot of land to get approval, though. Each patch of sunlight will be 3 miles across, so your neighbors might not be wild about this one.
Yeah.
It's not clear how much they're planning to charge, but it is not going to be cheap. I'll tell you that right now.
No.
And don't expect it to have sunlight 24 hours a day, at least not yet. For now, you'll only get about 4 minutes worth of sun. They're hoping to start their initial test run late in 2025.
4 minutes of sun.
4 minutes of sun, baby. Only costs you about $250 bucks.
Four extra minutes.
It makes me very wary that they want people to start signing up for this when they are not even telling you how much it's going to cost yet. I will also say the website, it don't look very good, Melissa.
It is a little sketchy.
It is a little bit. If I'm counting on these people to be able to direct sunlight to me with the satellites and everything, I kind of expect a decent website. I'm sorry. I kind of.
You think the tech guys could do better with the website?
I feel like that. Build. I don't think that's asking a lot. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. I don't know. I really love the idea of being able to help our solar farms and helping solar power. The idea of that is really unique and pretty cool. Being able to harness the sun is something we have literally been trying to do since we were able to walk upright. It's a cool kind of thing, I think. That Maybe. Being said, there's other sides to this.
Yeah, like what's going to happen to the plant life around those areas when they have sunlight 24 hours a day, when they're not used to it? I mean, when that happens in Alaska, everything's covered in snow.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, maybe not everything, but...
No.
That latitude of the Earth is used to that.
I think there is a big, big, big difference, and we need to understand that there is a big, big difference between working with nature and trying to manipulate nature.
Yeah. Let's talk about the earthquakes that are happening because of fracking.
Yeah.
And fracking is something that we are doing to the environment.
Yeah.
That is not natural. Directing sunlight where it's supposed to be dark, that I don't know. That seems like it might be problematic, James.
Yeah, yeah. The only people that are backing fracking are the people that have money in their pocket. Let's be blunt. And they have other reasons for doing it. The idea of fracking is not needed. We've got some of our best scientists that have told us that. There are certain things like that we're doing to the planet. We are just so self-inflicted. And this isn't about, trying to squash something before it's even come into being and everything. But with this kind of like technology, with this kind of science, with these kind of brains working on this, this is, an interesting idea, but I'd really love to see you guys working on something a little bit stronger, a little bit better that helps more people, not just trying to make a buck.
Making better solar panels that can collect more energy or that last longer or that, that less energy is lost during the transfer process. I mean, there are so many other ways I think that you could make energy more efficient than let's put giant satellites in the sky and redirect the sun.
Yeah.
It sounds like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like something that even then, they, you know, like futuristic movies are talking about and telling us how that this is a bad idea.
And this is how we destroyed the Earth.
I've mentioned this before on the air. One of my favorite side hobbies is just reading about space and learning about space. I find it interesting. It doesn't really benefit me in my job, but I think it's cool and interesting. And one of the things that I have come across in recent years that I've heard a lot of, again, very, very smart people talk about is, hey, we're putting a lot of satellites in the sky. Like, we're putting a lot of satellites into space, and space is, you know, endless, and it's big, and it's gigantic.
Okay, but there's a lot of junk up there that's just floating right around the Earth.
Yeah, and that stuff, you know, we've already had this happen plenty of times in our lifetimes, let alone in the human existence. Some of that stuff falls down. So
right.
Some of that stuff comes back.
It gets into the atmosphere, and then it's going to fall once it hits gravity.
I just feel like it is such it would be such a human thing to be, you know, putting these things up in space, and then, you know, one day down the road, oh, by the way, all those satellites you put up there, yeah, they got to go somewhere. They got to come down, and we don't get to choose when they do.
Talk for a minute about all the junk that SpaceX is putting up there.
Oh my God, yeah, that hustle. That's all. Yeah. All that is a hustle. I know a hustle. I come from that world. That is a hustle. That is all that is. There's no going to Mars. This is a way for him to get investors, for him to get money, and be able to put it into things that will never happen. He's never going to Mars. Elon Musk is never going to Mars. Please write that down. That is my hot take of the day. You can go ahead and throw it in my face. Elon himself can throw it in my face if it ever actually happens. I feel pretty confident that ain't happening. Because, again, it's a hustle, the whole thing. You're not even actually going into space. You're just going into the orbit. Like, there are balloons that do that. What are we talking about? Like, you shouldn't be able to call it SpaceX. It should be OrbitX or something or something. You're not even going into space. I don't know about the sunshine application. I do hope that it turns into something that can be beneficial and certainly all right for the environment in all ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to touch on this one as well, Melissa. Car trouble leads to some good things. A North Carolina man found his car trouble to be unexpectedly lucky when a trip to the repair shop earned him $3,795,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. Matthew's resident, Andre Collection, told North Carolina Education Lottery officials that he had an appointment to have his car serviced at the dealership, but ended up with some spare time in the morning.
Okay.
Quote, I woke up a little too early. I would have never played if I didn't get up so early. Cleborn killed time by playing the lottery's online Bison Bonanza game.
Bison Bonanza.
And ended up scoring the $3,795,000 jackpot.
Whoa.
He quote, I just play for fun. I don't think it was real. I didn't think it was real because I was still half asleep. He said his prize money will allow him to solve his car problems by buying a new electric vehicle. He said he is also planning a trip to Hawaii.
Oh, good for him.
That is a pretty good one. That is a pretty good one.
Kind of makes you want to play the lottery occasionally, you know, like just random.
You know, we do a lot of these. I'm about to do another one, actually. And I've never gotten that feeling.
I think about it, but I don't actually do it.
Sure. I'm just saying that I guess that even no matter how many of these stories I read for the years and years I've been doing this show, I still don't ever feel like it could be me. I don't oh, that ain't me. That ain't going to happen to me. A Michigan man asked a store clerk to pick out a scratch-off lottery ticket for him, and the selection led to a $500 prize.
Nice.
55-year-old Kent County man told Michigan lottery officials he was plagued by indecision during his visit to the Kent Mini Mart on South Main Street in Kent City. The man said that he initially thought he might have won $1,000 from the ticket, but ended up winning even more. He was asking the clerk, I buy instant tickets one or two times a month, but I don't usually play cash word games. The player said, I was at the store and I had $10 in my pocket, so I asked the clerk to give me a $10 ticket, and he handed me this lucky cash word ticket. And the guy said he, you know, thought he won a couple of bucks, won maybe $1,000 off it, but he didn't know he won that much.
Hmm. Wow.
The winner said his prize money will go towards buying a new house, a new truck, and going to local charities.
Awesome.
It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
There's a number of those out there that are pretty unique and interesting, and not a darn one of them would happen to me. I'm telling you right now, you're never going to hear that story about me.
Same.
I'm not that kind of lucky. I got lucky in a lot of things in life, though. I got fortunate in a lot of things. I'm okay.
Probably the lottery that I participate in most often are like 50-50 raffles at our community events.
Yeah.
And I always go into it thinking, you know, I'm gonna donate this, you know, $10, $20, however much it is. And then I always kind of think, well, and if I win, I'm probably going to give them back what they would have given me, because that just seems, I don't know, seems like the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, whenever I think of these things, like the idea of winning a big amount of money,
I would feel guilty.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Melissa. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I've never had that kind of money. So to get it instantly without, quote unquote, earning it, I would feel incredibly guilty. I know
the lottery
that
may be a little bit less so than a 50-50 raffle, but still, yeah.
I all of the above for me. And honestly, in a scenario like that, I immediately think of people that have less than I do. And I'm telling you right now, I win $10, I win $10,000. A lot of that is going to charity, if not the majority of that is going to charity. If for anything, my Jewish guilt. I'm joking. We'll come back and we're going to have some fun in the 9 o'clock hour. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.